towards Christ.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
So, and what is man's response to God's standard? Genesis 15:6. And Abraham believed God. This is that. So the response to God's standard is to believe in God's standard. What is God's standard? Christ. So to believe in Christ. Genesis is God's standard. Hallelujah. So when a man does not believe in God's standard, it's called sin. That is sin. So whoever I say we'll get to here, I'll get to teach us about the concept of sin and the forgiveness of sins. So this is now we understand what sin really is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What's happening? Is that? Okay. I said we'll have a long journey. And just like GPL, we are not cutting the shots. Hallelujah. So we must not know. But I will know with first section. Hallelujah.
The Lord.
And we must do it.
The Lord.
Amen. And what also seems to be the invitation. No way. Amen. Glory to God. So in Numbers, they didn't believe. So it was 40 years of unbelief. Are you hearing me? In fact, in Numbers 21, they said, when Moses told them, the land of Canaan, let's go. They said, no, we cannot go. Send 10 people. Let's go and tell them all spies. That is unbelievable. Let's go and spy. Okay, Moses sent 10 people to go and spy. Joshua and Caleb came with the report. The report of God's greatness. Right? Report of God's greatness, God's goodness. And what did they do? They did not believe it. Rather, they rebelled. They did not believe there. Let's appoint ourselves another leader. Let's go back to Egypt. That is unbelief. Are you following that? Unbelief. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Unbelief. Unbelief. So, quickly. So, what Moses will tell them in Numbers 14, because so Numbers 14 will move down, right? Right? What Moses will tell them in Numbers 14 from verse 18 to 21 is that the glory of God is what? Forgiveness. The glory of God that will be in all the earth will be the what? Will be forgiveness. Will be the forgiveness. And what do we call that glory? God's union. Right? Right? God's union with man. So we can say God's union with man is the forgiveness of sins. Are you hearing that? God's union with man is that forgiveness of sin. We'll see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in showing them, in telling them about the forgiveness of sins, what did he do? In telling them about the forgiveness of sins, what would Moses do? He will now show them the priestly ministry in the tabernacle, using Aaron and the Levites. Are you following me? We will now show them the priestly ministry using Aaron and the Levites. Are you following me? Aaron will be the high priest. Right? And that high priest ministry of Aaron will be an impotent man. What will he be an impotent man? Is to show the real high priest. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will be a new project before Christ as our high priest. We'll see that shortly. And where will be his work? What will be the work of Aaron? Though his work will be in the tabernacle. Right? Which will be what? The union of man and God. So where will be the work of the high priest in that union? Are you following me? Let's hear the writer of Hebrews to explain that to us. Quickly. Hebrews chapter 10. Is the Lord reading? Hebrews 10. We are only exploring. You know, Acts 2, from verses 17, when Peter stood to preach, was a summary of what he said. Hope you know that. In fact, history had it that Peter taught for hours. Hallelujah. History had it that Peter taught for hours. Not 5 minutes or not 10 minutes. You know, he was preaching to unbelievers. Eh? Just as some people who want to do evangelism, I just want to take 1 minute of your time. And you now summarize. Just that the good. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. Amen. Do you believe that you are born again? Amen. Peter spoke for the minimum from history is about 6 hours. He talked to me. Just what you have from verse 17 into verse 30 something. So we are just in 1 hour. So we're exploring what Peter taught. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look at that. Chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 1. It says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of the things which can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. You can put on your clothes. Why is it so? Hallelujah. You can put on your laps, you can fight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a wish they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Verse 2, he said, for them, they would not have ceased to be offered. And then for the worshippers, once purified, will have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins every year. Are you following me? Are you following me? Verses 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he's talking about Christ, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. He says, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire. What is the writer of Hebrews saying? He's saying, God did not institute it. God never requested for sacrifices. He said, you did not desire. Hallelujah. He said, for the body you prepared for me, a burnt offering and sacrifice of sin, you have no pleasure. Meaning he has no pleasure. Meaning he has no hand in it. Hallelujah. Are you following me? God has got no pleasure in it. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of books. It is written of me to do your will. Now look at verse 8. See, previously, say sacrifice and offering, burnt offering. For sin you do not desire, nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. For he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He said, he takes away the first that he may establish the second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of his body, of the body of Jesus Christ. Once, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can read it all. So when he says the high priest goes in once a year under the law, is to show, verse 10, that Christ went in one time for all. So that once a year is to show once for all time. That is Moses' hypodegma, Moses' imagery. So he puts it once in a year to show once for all time. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Once for all time, Christ will offer himself for the remission of sins. Where? In the believer. Look at verse 14. It says, for by one offering he had made perfect forever those who have been sanctified. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. By one offering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then chapter 9, verse 14 also. Look at chapter 9, verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the internal spirit offered himself without spots to God, cleanse your conscience from dead work to serve the living God? What is the writer of Hebrews saying? He's saying that Christ's work will be in the believer. In the believer. So, where did Christ offer his sacrifice? In the believer. You know, many people think when Jesus died, he carried his blood and went to heaven, went to the skies, and I said, Master, Father, I've come with your blood. I've come with my blood. This is my blood. Then God began to sprinkle heaven. No. No. Hallelujah. That is that was not what he said. That was not what he did. What did he do? The writer of Hebrews said, when Jesus went into his way, your heart. Hallelujah. What did Jesus go into? Into the heart of the man who believes. So, where does he make the sacrifice? Where did that atonement take place? In our heart. He said, to support our conscience. Hallelujah. So, the work of Christ will be found in the believer. What is that work? We saw it yesterday, the indwelling. So that indwelling is that forgiveness of sin. So that indwelling, that union is God's glory. And God's glory is the forgiveness of sins. Are you hearing me? That is, where will you find all this? In the writings of Moses. Moses will say, what God that glory is pardon. Right? God's forgiveness of sins. And it still calls that glory in all the earth. He calls it in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is God's union with man. So that union with man is the forgiveness of sins. That union with man is the indwelling. Are you following me? Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, how will Moses prefigure it? So, how will Moses prefigure this indwelling? Listen, Moses wants to now prefigure this indwelling. This forgiveness of sins. No, I said this indwelling is, we say it's God's glory, right? It's the forgiveness of sins, right? Right? It is the indwelling, right? Okay, now, how will Moses now put that image? Moses will now give them the tabernacle, right? Now, to now show that there will be forgiveness of sins, that Christ will die, to show that God will be a man, God will die, he will now tell them, hey, get a lamb. They will get a lamb. They will kill the lamb to show that what? Christ will die. Paul will say, Christ is our Passover, right? That is what? Sacrificed for us. Are you following? Right? John will call him, behold the Lamb of God. When they are saying these things, where are they reading from? From Moses. Are you seeing that? He said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. That is the Lamb that is killed. Right? So Moses will now bring that image and say, kill the Lamb. Don't kill the Lamb. Don't show that one, the Lamb will die. Right? The blood will be taken away. Now, we're getting there. Now, what will be the blood? Now, the Lamb will die. We show that Christ will die. Now, how will you now prefigure that miracle that he will resurrect? It will not be hard. Meaning, you will have to kill the Lamb, not tell the Lamb, but you come back for it. No. Tell us that the Lamb is dead. So how will they now show, how will Moses now prefigure that the Lamb will come back alive? He will now say, take the blood. Blood is a symbol of life.
Are you hearing me? Blood is a symbol of life. Listen and listen well. So when you take the blood, it will mean that the lamb has come back to life. In their team. Are you following? So the lamb is dead, but his blood comes back alive. His blood shows the lamb is alive. So where will you take that lamb's blood to? Who will take it? The high priest. Are you following me? Where will he take it to? Into the tabernacle. Following that? So Moses is prefiguring something. That lamb is back alive. And the high priest takes it into the tabernacle, into the holiest of all. So remember, the holiest of all will be what? Where the same God dwells, in that union. Right? That will be the heart of man. Are you following? Are you following that? So, quickly, who is the high priest? Christ. Right? Who is the lamb? Christ. What is the blood? He is arisen. Are you following me? So, where does it take it to? Our heart. So, what does the writer of Hebrews call that? The forgiveness of sins. Right? Right? Is that also the indwelling? Christ lives in us. John 14, verse 16. I'll pray the Father, I'll send another comforter that he may dwell with you. He said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So, he will come to you. That blood, right? 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 So, that blood, where would that blood be? In my heart, right? In the tabernacle, right? Right? To show that what? That will be the indwelling. So, can you see? That the indwelling is not different from the forgiveness of sins. So, to the believer, forgiveness of sin is not a pattern. Forgiveness of sin is not what we plead for. Forgiveness of sin is what we've obtained. Are you following me? To the believer, forgiveness of sin is what we have obtained in Christ. What we've received in the new birth. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Forgiveness of sin to the believer is not the pattern. Remember, I said I'll have to teach us about the forgiveness of sins in the course of the year. We have to see that concept of sin first. We have to see that concept. What is sin itself? I'm going to look at it from Genesis to Revelation. What is sin? What is the forgiveness of sin? So, the forgiveness of sin is not different from the what? Indwelling. So, do you plead for indwelling? Have you received the indwelling? So do you believe in forgiveness of sin? Because the indwelling is the forgiveness of sin. So have you received the forgiveness of sin? Because you have received the indwelling. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Say, I've received the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So the believer doesn't plead for it. So let's know. We've received it. Glory to God. And God, that is God's spirit. Amen. 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 Let's go a bit further. Let's move a bit further. I hope you're following me.
Don't worry. We're getting close to the climax.
Amen. Amen. So, that is how Moses will prefigure it. And this is what you will find in the words of, or in the words or teachings of the prophets. Just what I explained to you, that prefiguring, is what you will find in the words of the prophets, and even in the four gospels, even in the epistles. That indwelling. We just read from Hebrews now. That I indwell is the forgiveness of sins. Look at Ezekiel 36 quickly. Ezekiel 36. Are you in Ezekiel 36? Sorry. Thank you. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's look. Ezekiel 36:26. Are we 25? Are you there? Look at 25. He says, I will sprinkle you, I will sprinkle clean waters, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. Is this the forgiveness of sins? Is this the forgiveness of sins? Look at 26. I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of flesh, and I'll give you the, I will take the heart, the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. He's not calling that cleansing. He's calling it what? The spirit. I will give you the spirit. Did you see that? Look at verse 27. I will put my spirit within you and cause it to walk in my status, and you will keep my judgment and do them. Did you see that? It's the same experience. He's calling the Father, I will speak clean water on you and you shall be clean. How will that happen? I will put my spirit within you and cause it to walk in my status. Are you following that? So they are writing the same thing, that the forgiveness of sins will be what? The indwelling. So when you begin to separate the indwelling from the forgiveness of sins, you miss it. But the shepherd will say something. He says, if the day you are saved, if you receive the Spirit any second after that, then everything about Christianity is alive. In fact, if you receive the Holy Ghost now, and you receive forgiveness of sin 1 second after, Christianity is alive. Because to be born again is to receive the Holy Ghost. That is the forgiveness of sins. It is one package. Explain the different things. Are you hearing me? It's the same thing. So when a man is saved, he receives the Holy Ghost. That is the forgiveness of sins. That is God's righteousness. Are you hearing me? Are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 72, verse 19. Quickly. Psalm 72, verse 19. He said, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Can we say, let the whole earth be filled with the indwelling? Right? Can we say, let the whole earth be filled with the indwelling? Can we say, let the whole earth be filled with God's forgiveness of sins? Will that be all men in the earth? Will that be all the men in the earth? That is God's plan for the earth. All men be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verses 4. Says God's desire is for all men to be saved and to come. All men to be saved. All the earth. All the earth. All men to be saved. All men to receive forgiveness of sins. All men to have the indwelling. Hallelujah. That will be God's creation. That will be God's plan. Heaven and earth in all the earth. Hallelujah. Are you following that? So what have we been talking about since? We said that what they will be teaching will be concerning God's plan. Right? That is what the prophet will be teaching. Concerning God's plan for the earth. Which will be the indwelling, the forgiveness of sins. Right? Right? Would that forgiveness of sins be his deliverance? That will be his deliverance. We'll get to see that. That will be his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all this is possible by Christ's work. His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we've been talking about since. That these things are what? Possible by what? Christ's work. His resurrection. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So that means, in summary, what are they teaching us? What are the prophets been teaching? Christ to walk. Right? Christ to walk. That's what we've been saying. So let's look at Romans chapter 1 again.
Hallelujah.
So let's look at Romans chapter 1 again. Romans 1. From verse 1 to 4. Quickly. So we say what they will speak of will be what? His resurrection. Right? That's what the prophet will speak about. And we collaborated that also with what? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He said he was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. Fact of the gospel. Hallelujah. Fact of the gospel. He rose again. So we said the resurrection is the major fact of the gospel. I don't like to call it major fact, but let's put it like that today. Right? But it's the fact of the gospel that authenticates every other fact of the gospel. Hallelujah. He's the major fact of the gospel. If Jesus hadn't resurrected, he would have been like every other person. Hallelujah. What makes him the Son of God? Oh, no, 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 let me use that. What authenticates any other thing? What authenticates him as the only begotten Son of God, or as the Son of God that he rose from the dead? That's what authenticates him. What authenticates him as God in man is that what he rose from the dead. Are you following me? Are you following me? So that resurrection is important. So, in that 1 Corinthians 15, try to be fast now. In that 1 Corinthians 15, look at how Paul uses the word resurrection in verses 12. He said, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. 15. Yes, and we have found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Mark that word. He uses the word risen. And if Christ is not risen, if Christ is not risen, don't mind my dying, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Did you see that? If Christ is not risen, you have all men miserable. Hallelujah. So that is why the resurrection is very important. Now, how do Paul use that word resurrection or to rise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He uses that word rise in the present continuous. That is the word egirio. That word is used in the present continuous tense to show he is risen and still rising. Something like that. Or he remains arisen. It's a continuous tense. Like he has risen and he remains. No, pardon my grammar. He has arisen and he is still arisen. Or he's still rising every second. Do you understand? He used that word in the present continuous egirio. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we look at this, now, what does Paul mean when he says he is arisen and he's still rising? Remember, Paul is explaining from scriptures. He says, Christ, if you look at verse 13, he says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So what will be the scriptures? Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. So we'll go to, so since we know that it's explained from the scripture, before we get to see what Paul is saying, like in 1 Corinthians 15, let's see how the prophet spoke about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how would the prophet speak about it? What Paul just said shows that the prophet will not speak of the resurrection as the end, like I've said earlier, or as a climax.
Hallelujah.
Because Paul shows us that the resurrection is not something that is past. It's something that has happened and is still happening.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So let's explore that. So that means that is the same way the prophet too will write about the resurrection. Amen. So you know, Paul warned Timothy about those who say the resurrection is past.
Some people say, ah, Jesus said, ah, it's past.
No! No! It's something that is still happening. So let's see that. We'll see that from the prophet first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the prophet will not call it the climax, that is the end. Rather, they will write it as the beginning of what seems to be an end, or what looks to be an end. They will write that resurrection as the beginning of what looks like an end. So, you know, normal, you might think, oh, this is the end of it. He just rose and everybody, oh, it's bye-bye. Ah, he has risen,
he's Messiah. Okay, bye-bye, let's go home.
No. You know, it looks like that is the end, right? But no, that's not the climax. It is the beginning of what looks like it, but it's not it. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So we're going to explore that together right now. Glory to God. In Genesis 1:1, where we are coming from, we are going back again. You remember, the epistle will send us back to the Old Testament. So we are going back there. So don't join us with us there. We are no longer in the Old Testament. We are not in the New Testament. You know, Moses, my son, is there. Who? No. No. The epistles will send you back to the prophet. The prophet will kick you back to Moses. Stay there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Genesis 1. For verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the surface of the waters. And God said, let there be light.
What?
And there was light. So, it shows that God's plan for the earth is to be filled with God's union with men. Was that what we said? So Moses writes Genesis 1:1 to show you that this is God's plan for the whole earth. In verse 26, he calls it man to be in the image of God. Right? And the image of God is what? Christ. And what is the plan? Let him replenish the earth. See, for those people who think Genesis 1 is talking about history, you will miss it. Because you know, you see the word, let him replenish the earth. If you see the word replenish the earth, now you are thinking he's talking about history, not like the first man. So it's now by reproduction. How many children can one man born that will fill the earth? In fact, for Moses to not make you do that, it's not reproduction. He now shows you Adam and Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Cain went on exile. One child. They now give birth to another person, Seth. Seth now gave birth to Enos. They never reach. I thought it's replenished. Men should be giving birth to children like dogs now. Just for 30 puppies. That is geometric rate, right? But it's just one. If I do not carry a baby for 9 months, not immediately. I thought it's want to fill the air chapter. It's not marriage. To make you, you know, if at this stage you are still thinking of marriage or burning children to replenish it, you are not, you see, your university certificate return it. And let us take you to a farm in the village. Because how many children would you want to fill the earth? So when you hear that word replenish, it shows you, you know, what do you replenish? English student. Now, let me know if some people have to return their wife, satisfy their certificate. You have just said, God bring it. For thou art the sentence to the village to go and be washing for this. So, when you use the word replenish, how do you use the word replenish? We use the word replenish for something that is just starting, for something that is filled, that you are changing an order.
Let me say it again. When you want to replenish, will you do it for something that you are starting out to feed, or something that is already filled, but you are like a collection of what is there? Something that's already filled. So you use the word replenish. It's not the word to replenish the earth. It's to replenish the earth. So it shows you that, hey, the earth is already with men. It's already filled with men. Are you hearing me? Moses was writing to the children of Israel in Egypt. So they have other nations. So they said the earth is already filled with men. So what God is about to do, what God wants to do, is to replenish the earth with man in his image. Did you see that? It's not a start over, but a replenishing. So that means those men in the earth will now be, to God's plan for all of them, all the men in the earth, to be what? In Christ. That is replenishing. Are you following me? Did you understand that? Did you understand that?
Okay, amen.
Who's the pastor? Who's the pastor?
My pastor. Yes. Pastor Hinton.
Okay. Who invited you?
Pastor Wisdom.
Okay.
Glory to God. You understand it, don't worry. Just be calm.
Amen. So, more part of the replenishing, right? The replenishing. So, when you do what to replenish, it's different from the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or bring you to a slave. Okay. For you, the word replenish is like you say to refill. It's not like saying feed it. Meaning it's already full, and they're telling you to refill it. Are you hearing me? So he's telling you that, hey, that is not history for God's plan. He's telling you Genesis 1 is not history of the world, it's not science. It's not evolution. It is what? God's plan. It's God's theology. This is the study of God. This is what God wants to do. God wants all men to be in Christ. Are you hearing me? So he says, replenish the earth. When the earth is filled, so he says, replenish it with what? Men in Christ. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That is God's plan. So I now find it very funny when people say,
when rapture takes place.
I believe in rapture. But maybe not your kind of rapture. Not here, not us here. Maybe not the kind of rapture that people think. That Jesus will appear in the sky, everybody will disappear. Boom! Out of nowhere.
Somebody will be driving a car, you don't disappear from the car. And the car will not eat. Boom!
So the people that it will hit down there, where would they go to? They see your theology in nonsense. They just imagine we are all flying inside plane, and just imagine that the pilot is born again, and all of a sudden, and the plane is going, and you hear bam 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 bam, pilot goes, and there are 256 people on stage. The plane will not crash down. Where did they go to? Who did that? Or death will no longer show.
We have missed it. Hallelujah. I believe in rapture.
But not that kind of rapture. Amen. Because how did they ask you to teach us rapture? It's not that one day, boom, the nonsense of people again. They will not go for 7 years. I'm saying it because I've taught it to you. Some people are going to have taught it for my life. We'll not go for 7 years. Oh, within that 7 years, 3.5 years, there will be peace on earth. After 3.5 years, there will be serious struggle. Oh, people will be suffering. Oh, people will be dying. Oh,
man of God, then we calm down.
When you read that again, you say, when we have to read it again, I'm like,
it's like this part that is interesting. It's when you get to Matthew 24, you're like, bam! When you now sit down to read in context. You see, when men read in context, you don't want to say nonsense. When you now read in context of what Jesus is talking about, Rabbi, he said, two will be grinding. One will be taken, one will be left. You think the one that is taking is rapture? No, the one that is taking, they took the one to go and kill. The one that is left is the one that is saved. Theology is your
The rapture is scattered because he said two will be walking, one will be taken. One will be saved. The one that will be taken. They did not take that one to go and yes, no, that one was taken to be killed. That one was seized to be killed. Ah.
You will not be aha, this is not rapture. Do you understand? What is Jesus talking about? Jesus was speaking about what will happen to his to Jerusalem.
There's a prayer that your flight will not be on the Sabbath day. So that you will not be captured. Captured. Not taking, not raptured. Captured.
You will not be surprised. So where did people get that theology of rapture from? Out of context.
Get it from where? Out of context. You see, why you should be calm to study?
Hallelujah. Every one of these days we'll get to see that. We'll get to just look at it. Hallelujah. But first of all, have that teaching on Antichrist. Maybe when you now know what is Antichrist.
Maybe when you know what is Antichrist is, you will begin to take away those nonsense. Because we believe Antichrist is going to show.
I remember one teacher I said, I taught be knowledgeable. I still have that message. I will stay on base tonight. I will play it for some pastors. I have that message.
See, then the Antichrist will show. You know, the Antichrist is not born.
But I said something that was very funny. I said, the Antichrist is born in our generation.
And then the guy will not grow. I said a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, but I said the Antichrist is my age grade.
I had serious insights into nonsense.
I said, you know, and we're younger then. I said, see, man of God. He said, the Antichrist, and those kind of meetings I have it with some close people. I said, the Antichrist is within our age grade. Because we had the two olive trees.
Yeah.
Nonsense. Ingredient. Sure. Swear. Hallelujah. Well, but we now discover that, you know, that year, first of all, you know why I concluded that?
Because, you know, some people said, Pope John Paul was Antichrist. Some people said Obama. I didn't say all those nonsense. I just knew that. In my generation, because I was the only person. So, in my generation,
wonderful nonsense. Hallelujah. Well, we'll go to the book of Revelation and we are looking for helicopter in Revelation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. We did a whole lot of exegesis, a whole lot of. But I thank God. You know one thing? You know the joy of being with your pastor? Yeah? You know the joy of sticking with your pastor? I'm not jumping. I'm not missing. It's the fact that you discover that you grew together. Hallelujah. Some people will start out. They go say, I know everything. I know, I left on that hill. I know everything. Now go and start your grace, whatever. At the end, it's not a huge deficit. First of all, I remember what you taught us in the year 2010. That was some days back. Man of God. When did he leave? When did he leave us? He left ending of 2011. And you expect me to speak? I said, see, I have growth. 2010 to now, it's 11 years. If I have not grown to know, 11 years will be for my age. You discover that, oh boy, this emoji has grown both in wisdom and in teaching. Yes, now. Yeah, compare me to 11 years ago, 10 years. When we used to, can I say,
I don't say something.
Hallelujah. So, you know, it's just very funny how people create some things out of scriptures. Rapture, no. Hallelujah, no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So how did we even get to rapture talk? You get it? No, Replenish. Okay, yeah, replenish. So the Bible is not for all those, you know that. So it's not creation, I mean not history, but the Bible teaches you what? God's, or his theology, is the study of God, God's plan. So when he says replenish here, God wants the whole earth to be filled with what? God and man. That is to say, all men to be in Christ. Which Paul will now say in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, God's desire is for all men to be saved. Where would he be reading from? Genesis, right? Genesis 1:26, all men to be saved. That's God's plan. The whole earth be filled with him and his love is glory. Hallelujah. That is it. Hallelujah. We'll get to explore that. So I said, before we even look at that, we'll see the Antichrist. It's called that the Antichrist is not even a person. Not even a person. What is Christ? Or who is Christ? What is Christ? Christ is a message. The Antichrist is a message. We'll get to see all that. Hallelujah. I hear you. Oh, well, we have a long way we are going. Sure you know. And we are taking our time. We're not in a rush. Nobody can rush you. What we are discussing God's plan. Which year have I started talking about in this God's plan? 2018. Right? And I've not started plan, purpose, and procedure. It's still a promise. Amen. Amen.
The Lord.
We will get in there. Hallelujah. So there's no rush. I'm your pastor. I'm not rushing anywhere. I'm not rushing for that job. I'm not waiting for 5, 10, 15 years. I'm here. You know, we'll be here 30 years. We'll be here 40 years. We'll still be preaching Christ. We'll be here 60 years. We'll be here 70 years. Still be preaching Christ. Hallelujah. No shaking, no fear. We're there here. Hallelujah. Amen. So, amen. He says, for man to be in Christ. So that's the replenish, right? So in Genesis 1:11, how will this happen? Genesis 1:11, how will this happen? How will this happen? He says, it will happen by how? Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields its seed, and the fruit of the tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. So how would this happen? It will be the seed bringing forth its kind. The seed. How would this happen? How would the earth replenish? How will this happen? How will man in Christ happen? How will this happen in all the earth? He said it will happen by the seed. And in Genesis 3, when man sinned, how did Adam and Eve sin? What did I call sin? To miss God's mark. To meet God's standard. That means Adam and Eve eating the tree is not apple. It's not a anymore. It's not orange. Adam and Eve didn't eat apple. Remember, I told us last week that word tree is Moses' imagery. Right? Moses' imagery for what? Acceptance and what? Rejection. What are they accepting? What are they rejecting? The gospel. So what did Adam do? Adam rejected the gospel. That is sin. You need to get that? Get the message. Or be around for next week's time. We are still discussing working in God's plan. So this is just an aside to teach some other things. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Just an aside to teach these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So, in chapter 3, Adam and Eve just rejected it. So that means Adam and Eve were not created in the image of God. It's going to offend some people's theology, but that is the truth. You believe the lie from your childhood days. It doesn't matter. Know the truth and walk in the truth. They were created in the image of God. And when they had the opportunity to accept God's plan, what did they do? They rejected it.
Yet God is merciful.
That is the merciful nature of God. That is his long suffering. God again, when that happened in chapter 3, verse 15,
God said.
In chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. And now, that word "you shall bruise his heel" does not exist in the original. What it is, "and shall bruise his heel." That "you shall" does not exist. Are you following?